We're going to continue on with this series in Apprentice and look at the chapter in Listening. So maybe we should start with prayer. Lord God, just give us ears to hear you and the courage to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, better check that I can work this thing, hey? Yes. Awesome. I can work things. Good. Well, how's everyone? You all right? Yes, good. Well, I do want to talk about this idea of listening. And, you know, we're taught in school that we have five senses, don't we? We've got sound, sight, touch, taste, smell. And it's the way that we interact with the world. It's the way that we gain information and actually figure out reality. I was reading this week about, just even with sight, the science now says that we actually have to learn how to see. Isn't that really weird? We've got stuff coming into our brains that turns into electrical impulses into in there, but we have to actually learn. The kids learn to make that reality that makes sense to them. Even with sound, it's a similar idea. Have you ever actually thought about this? That sound, it starts to get weird, doesn't it, when we start thinking about actually what's happening? It's not noise as such. Something moves. It's a vibration. It's a vibration of air. It's particles in the air that move and a frequency that moves, bigger and smaller, larger, and it hits our little trumpet hole and grabs in and goes into our ear, and the eardrums move with that same vibration, and there's a few little tiny little bones behind that that amplify that for us to make it bigger. We've got our own little amplifier in our ears, and that goes to a little shell like thing called a cochlea that's filled with fluid with tiny little hairs in there, and then they move, and that somehow creates an electrical current or a circuit that gets sent to our brain, and then our brain tells us we've heard something. Who thinks that? This is strange. That is strange. And then somehow our brain takes some meaning from that and goes, oh, that sounded high, that sounded low, that sounded loud, that sounded quiet. Or that was pleasant, or that was not. That was in tune, that was not. That was beautiful. Or nails on a blackboard, that was not. We actually thought about that? Even the fact that we find beauty in electrical currents in our ear to our brain, to me, starts to make us think about, is there something bigger? Is there meaning bigger than this? And of course we know that this is how God created it, and that he has chosen for us to interact with one another, that we would know and understand. But do we get that there's even beauty in sound? Of course we do. We've been interacting with music this morning. That we understood that we have interacted, yes, through senses, but it went past that, didn't it? It went past five senses, didn't it? I want to watch something to be reminded how words and sounds can do amazing things. You want to put this on for us, Kev?
It's the full story of life crushed into 4 minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes? God. the maker and giver of life. And by life, I mean any and all manner and substance, seen and unseen, what can and can't be touched, thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans, God. All of it is handiwork, one of which is masterpiece, made so uniquely that angels look curiously. The one thing in creation that was made with his imagery, the concept so cold, it's the reason I stay bold, how God breathed in a man and he became a living soul. Formed with the intent of being infinitely, intimately fond, creator and creation held an eternal bond. And it was placed in perfect paradise till something went wrong. A species got deceived and started lusting for his job, an odd list of complaints, as if the system ain't working, and used that same breath he graciously gave us to curse him. And that sin seed spread through our soul's genome. And by nature of your nature, your species, you participated in the mutiny, our, yes, our sins. It's nature inherited, black in the human heart. It was over before it started. Deceived from day one and led away by our own lust. There's not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. The question is, what is it? And how do we fix it? Are we eternally separated from a God that may or may not have existed? But that's another subject. Let's keep grinding. Besides, trying to prove God is like defending a lion, homie. It don't need your help. Just unlock the cage. Let's move on how our debt can be paid. Short and sweet. The problem is sin. Yes, sin. It's a cancer, an asthma, choking out our life force, forcing separation from a perfect and holy God. And the only way to get back is to get back to perfection. But silly us, trying to pass the course of life without referring to a syllabus. This is us. Keep up your good deeds. Chant, pray, meditate. But all of that, of course, is spraying cologne on a corpse. Or you could choose to ignore it as if something don't stink. It's like stepping in dog poop and refusing to wipe your shoe. But all of that ends with how good is good enough. Take your silly list of good deeds and line them up against perfection. Good luck. That's life past your pay grade. The cost of your soul, you ain't got a big enough piggy bank. But you could give it a shot. But I suggest you throw away the list, cause even your good acts are an extension of your selfishness. But here's where it gets interesting. I hope you're closely listening. Please don't get it twisted. It's what makes our faith unique. Here's what God says is part A of the gospel. You can't fix yourself. Quit trying. It's impossible. Sin brings death. Give God his breath back. You owe him. Eternally separated. And the only way to fix it is someone die in your place. And that someone gotta be perfect. Or the payment ain't permanent. So if and when you find a perfect person, get him or her to willingly trade their perfection for your sin and death in. Clearly, since the only one that can meet God's criteria is God, God sent himself as Jesus to pay the cost for us. His righteousness, his death, functions as payment. Yes, payment. Wrote a check with his life, but at the resurrection we all cheered because that means the check cleared. Pierced feet, pierced hands, bloodstained son of man, fullness, forgiveness, free passage into the promised land. That same breath that God breathed into us, God gave up to redeem us. And anyone and everyone, and by everyone I mean everyone, who puts their faith and trust in him, and him alone, can stand in full confidence of God's forgiveness. And here's what the promise is, that you are guaranteed full access to return to perfect unity by simply believing in Christ and Christ alone. You are receiving life. Yes, life. This is the gospel. God, our sins, paying everyone life.
It's good, isn't it? Spoken word, rhyming, the ability of rhythm to make a difference to us. How weird is that? We realize even rhythm can actually connect something more to us than if I spoke in a monotone voice for the rest of this time like this forever. makes a difference to us. Whoa. Sorry, Damon. Sound makes a difference to us. I got lost. Yes. God has given us the ability to hear so that we can hear him. But not only that, that he can hear us. He doesn't need, but God listens. God hears. Even going back to think about, it blows my brain that we make noises with our mouths and speak of abstract ideas by making whatever sort of noise, and you understand me. Isn't that strange? But God is a God who hears not just our voice, but hears what's going on. I want to look at some verses. Psalm 55. Evening and morning, at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. God heard his people. God hears his people. From Revelation, I love this verse. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hands. It's a verse in Revelation talking about how our prayers are like incense to God. They are sweet, but he takes them. We put it in a bowl is the picture, the analogy that gets used. And God hears. Why does God hear? Because it comes back to this idea that we all know, that God is about relationship, that God is about connection. For us to understand one another and to understand him. And as apprentices, as the book goes on, as apprentices, he wants us to listen to. God is a God who listens. This is why we can connect to him. It's not just because he speaks, but it's because he's a God who listens. Parents, don't we know that this is the hard thing sometimes, isn't it? Please listen. Who says this word most days? Who reckons they say that most days? Yes, I say this most days. Maybe even, look at me. But God wants us to be like him in this idea that we would understand and connect with one another by listening. You know, seven times this gets used in the New Testament. Jesus says, when he's speaking, let him who has ears hear. In fact, he says it before and after one story. He means it so much. Story when he talks about the parable of the sowers and explaining this concept, this parable about where people, how they find faith. He says, those who have ears hear. Those who have ears hear. But he's not just talking about hearing, is he? He's not just talking about one sense, is he? I think it's bigger than that. Hearing and listening is bigger than just the one sense. It's actually that we would gain information and understand. It's actually perception. It's actually what we perceive. When Jesus said these words, that's what he meant. He's saying, do you understand? Them who understand, understand. He went on to say, the people who hear my message are like those who build their house on the rock. Was that it? Was that all he said? Those who hear are those that build their house on the rock and the others from the sand. It's actually those who hear and put it into practice. That's actually what Jesus said. Not just those who hear. It's actually those who put it into practice. I actually think that's a part of let them who have ears here. It's not just New Testament. It's Old Testament. It is the Shema. It's the one thing that all Jews know. It's actually their declaration of faith that comes from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Jews hold up of this idea of God being one. It's highly important. And that the Lord is our God. But the bit we sometimes miss or just let go is the cry at the start. It's even got an exclamation point. Hear, O Israel. It's actually here. Seems redundant. If you say something, you're expecting someone to hear, aren't you? Why is it so important then? Why does God want this to be a part of the Shema? Because he knows that this is more than just listening. This is actually understanding. This is perceiving that the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. That actually means we do. It affects who we are. I wanted to come to this verse as well. But I'm sure we've all heard. And we've all sung songs probably about this too. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. That God wants us to be a listening people. Hear, O Israel. Let him who have ears. He wants us to be listening. And quite often, as we tell our children, quite often that actually means you need to be quiet. Quite often, we need to be quiet to hear God. It's a problem, isn't it? It is a problem. Because the busyness of our lives make it hard for us to hear. Yeah? I remember hearing in a video this idea that quite often for nature cinematographer, nature film director people are needing quiet ambience for their backing tracks. And there's this one guy that talked about in 1968. It was quite hard to get this footage of just quietness from nature. And it would take him 15 hours to get just the 1 hour that he quite often needed. Okay? 15 hours. In 2005, guess how long it took him? Anyone want to have a guess? What's that? 2,000 hours. 2,000 hours to get his 1 hour. That's a big difference. That is the noise pollution that exists within our society now. And we wonder why sometimes that we find it hard to slow ourselves down, to be still. I think another one I've written up there as well is I think we have a fear of silence. I definitely know working at school and seeing young people, maybe young people have always been this way, I don't know, but I notice that young people especially are afraid. I would use almost the point of expletives, scared of silence. Anyone notice what happens when young people have to wait somewhere for anything longer than 20 seconds? Anyone? Just hang on. I'll get back to you in a sec. They're on their phones, aren't they? Or on their devices or something in their pockets. 20 seconds. I see at bus stops all the time. My favourite thing is watching them, even going on a trip. So going down to this week, going down to the soccer, and the majority of them were on their phones, possibly talking to each other through the phones. But there's that moment, there's that awkward moment of, oh, I've got nothing to do here. There's silence. I'm not sure what to do. Help. We're afraid. I think even for us, you know, we all know that comment of the awkward silence within a conversation. Yes? You know what I'm talking about with that? Yes. I personally like those awkward moments. I quite enjoy them. If anyone knows the TV show The Office, The English Office, they're great at awkward silences. Makes me laugh lots. But most people, that is a big fear, that moment. I think these are some of the reasons in our modern world that we struggle to give God space. This world is pushing us into a space that actually is detrimental to us at listening. I want to read to you a famous story that we probably all know. Ahab reported to Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, including the massacre of the prophets. Jezebel immediately sent a messenger to Elijah with her threat. The gods will get you for this. I will get even with you. By this time tomorrow, you will be dead as any one of those prophets. Elijah saw how things were, and he ran for dear life to Beersheba, far in the south of Judah. He left his young servant there and went on into the desert another day's journey. He came to a lone broom bush, and collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it all, to just die. Oh, enough of this, God. Take my life. I'm ready to join my ancestors in the grave. Exhausted, he fell asleep under the lone broom bush. Suddenly an angel shook him awake and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and to his surprise, right by his head were a loaf of bread baked on some coals and a jug of water. He ate the meal and went back to sleep. The angel of God came back and shook him awake and said, "Get up and eat some more. You've got a long journey ahead of you." He got up, ate and drank his fill, and set out. Nourished by that meal, he walked 40 days and nights all the way to the mountain of God, to Horeb. When he got there, he crawled into a cave and went to sleep. The word of the God came to him. "So Elijah, what are you doing here?" "I've been working my heart out for the God of the angel armies," said Elijah. "The people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, destroyed the places of worship, and murdered your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." Then he was told, "Go stand at the mountain, at attention before God. God will pass by." A hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before God, but God wasn't to be found in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle, quiet whisper. When Elijah heard this quiet voice, he muffled his face, and with his great cloak, he went to the mouth of the cave and stood there. We know this story quite well, don't we? Where Elijah had an amazing thing happen. God showed up and proved himself to him, and then the next moment, Elijah's whinging and complaining again. And he goes off, and God shows himself to him again. But in a way unexpected to Elijah. And so often, God comes to us in the same way, in a still, quiet voice. Actually, some scholars would even suggest that that would be better translated as the sound of nothing. Actually, in the silence was God. You know, the practice of people listening to God over our Christian tradition, there are people that have been really amazing at this idea. But our modern life has made it difficult for us. What can we do to gain some of these insights back? Because I think we recognise how needed it is for us to be interacting with God, to actually be listening. There's at least half of a conversation. that if we want information to transform us, we need to be in spaces to let God do that. And so often that's in quiet. I think this is why God cares about Sabbath. This is why God cares about us having rest and cares about us forgetting almost in those moments to let go of what's going on, what's headed out into the future of plans, what's happened, but actually just to rest in Him. God gave us an example of that Sabbath. We've talked about that previously, and Mike has as well. I thought it'd be a good reminder to remind us. This is something that God's put in place for us. The Sabbath is not for God, it is actually for us. That's what Jesus said. The other idea I got up here is St. Benedict. Who's heard of St. Benedict? Yes? He's actually, in the 6th century, he was the man that started this idea of a monastic life. Before that, people would go off, desert fathers would go off to hear God by themselves. But St. Benedict thought that there was a way that we could hear God in the rhythms of living a normal life. The getting up, eating, living with other people. He considered that was just as important to listen to God as 6 times a day, meeting with Him in the rhythm of their life. 6 times a day is pretty intense. I'm not sure I can pull that off. But there's a recognition that in all that we do, we can be listening. But we also should give moments of practice to God. Even 10 minutes. That, I know for me, had a profound effect on me a good while ago. I've even forgotten how long ago it was, about 5 years ago. But I decided that I kept making excuses to God. I've got stuff to do. You know, I'm happy to sit down and pray with you and talk to you and help others to do that and do that together. But He came to me and suggested, you don't need long. And so I chose to try and give Him 10 minutes with no agenda other than to say to Him, let me not miss what you have for me today. Let me not miss what you have for me today. And that's all I would say. I might say that a few times, but I'd rest. And I've tried to put that into practice. And quite often, I don't get the chance at home because of the craziness of my getting up in the morning. But quite often, that is in my office down at school, where I take 10 minutes. I guess the blessing that it is to be in a job that is not having to be at every single lesson, every single, a bit lucky there, aren't I, Russell, in that way. Take 10 minutes just to say to God, let me not miss what you have for me today, and for Him to speak into that. So often, God doesn't say anything. So often. He doesn't audibly, or I don't even get a sense of Him giving me something audibly. But I have listened, and that has centered me in a space ready for Him. Even that listening has been vital for me. I've seen change over time. But I feel like I'm in a place that when I move throughout my day, that I'm ready for what He's doing. I'm ready for what He's up to. I have a peace and a patience to be ready for what goes on. And if I'm not in the right place at the right time, then I wasn't meant to be there anyway, so I was actually in the right place at the right time. That made no sense to probably most people other than my head. But the amazing privilege that God gives us, that if we listen to Him, He'll help us to be in the right place at the right time. That His Spirit will lead us. I truly believe that. It is a practice to put some listening time into our lives. I think that will have a massive effect. So often, like it has been put in this idea that that's a monk thing. That is way beyond the normal person. there's not much more normal than me. If I could put into practice, I think anyone can. But I want to show you a video to finish this morning that Kev's going to set up for us. Just to remind us that this is possible for anyone, okay? This comes from a show. It's an old show. It was a three-part series called The Monastery on the BBC. I don't know if anyone saw it. It was about 10 years old. And five guys from just normal walks of life decide to go to a monastery. BBC organised for them to go to a monastery for 40 days and live like Benedictine monks and see if they will have any effect on their lives whatsoever. They thought modern life was so far removed from this, it would at least be interesting to find out what people could do in that space. One of these guys was involved in the porn industry, and that his specific reason for going along was that he wanted to have antagonistic arguments. He said, I'm open, sort of, but I have so many questions that I don't understand, and he wanted to be able to robustly have some conversations with some monks. That was his focus. But as he continued to be in this space and be in this place and this rhythm of life, these rules in his life, some that actually affect him in a way that he couldn't believe. He actually recognised there was something that he was missing in his life. And there was something that he'd forgotten, that he did not listen, and it was actually starting to nurture his soul. And he gets to a place in the last few days that he realises he has to leave this monastery, and he is freaking out because he has his old life and he doesn't know what to do. And so he has a last meeting with the monk and has a chat to him about that. So you want to show that, Kev?
With only 2 days to go, Tony is growing increasingly agitated at the prospect of returning to his normal life. Aware that his past behaviour has been uncaring and even self-destructive, he's worried that what he's learned in the monastery may not be enough to sustain him. He decides to seek advice from his spiritual guide, Brother Francis, during their last session together.
Gary said something to me earlier about what I'm going to do when I get back, job-wise. He said, are you going to give up? Are you going to give up your job? You know, sort of on kind of like moral, oblique, spiritual grounds. And I said, well, no, I'm not, because I'm not going to go sit in a church reading the Bible and eating, you know, pot noodles. Mm. You know, I need to live. I need to have, I need my lifestyle, you know. So I'm just a little bit worried. Part of me really wants to keep the whole thing alive and carry it through. And I know the part of me that the minute I get out, there'll be a little bit of like, you know, sort of been there, done that, and it will fade.
I want to give you something to, I think, to help with what you've just described, really. And I think that over these last week, I think it is, you've been talking about vocation. And I think that's very important. And vocation's about, you know, discovering who you really are and maybe what you should really be doing. And I think that's what we try and do here, is to discover who we really are. And I want to give you this stone, this white stone. I think for several reasons, I think we've got our Christian name, we've got our family name, but we've got another name, and it's called our white stone name. And that comes from the book of Revelations, where the angel says that your name is written on a white stone in heaven. And I think our vocation is to find out what that name is. And I think that's a lifelong quest. But you could keep this in your pocket.
Yeah.
And you could just hold that. When it gets tough, but also remember the story that you're trying to work out. Well, what's my white name? What am I really meant to be doing? Who am I really meant to be? And I don't think you'll go far wrong.
Cheers.
I hope that'll help with that.
Well, I hope it does as well. I mean, just talking, just sitting here now, I just feel, I do really feel quite confused by this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it is easy to kind of verbalise things and or just verbalise anything for the sake of wrapping it up in words, but, you know.
I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't bother. I think it's a big mystery and we'd make a mistake to try and explain it away. To finish.
Yeah.
We'll finish now. Before we do, I want to give you a blessing. I'm going to put my hands on your head.
Yeah.
Just move that out of the way. Tony, may your soul calm, console, renew you. May the light of your soul guide you. May the light of your soul bless the work you do with the secret love and warmth of your heart. May the day never burden you. May dawn find you awake, alert, approaching your new day with dreams, possibilities and promises. May you go into the night blessed, sheltered and protected.
It's the weirdest experience I've ever had in my life. I don't know. I think I'm... It was a religious experience. Quite profoundly.
I wanted to show all of that awkward silence for us to recognise that there was hearing going on there, wasn't there? No one was speaking other than the Spirit of God. And when we hear, we slowly discover who we are, that we're His child. and we discover why we're meant to be here. So I want to encourage you to think about how you can do that and how you can put that in your own life. And since we're here, I thought we'd take a couple of minutes to try that for ourselves. For some of us, that might be difficult, just for a couple of minutes. For some of us, we might be already practicing this in our lives, and it's a not good opportunity. But I want to give us a moment of silence, or at least Lisa's going to play some music. So just give God time, that you would hear and listen to him. Let's do that now. I loved how the monk said that it's a mystery. So often we sometimes speak words when words fail. So may you find your way to hear God. May you understand who you are in him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks.